This is part B of Love One Another. Let's continue on here in the book of Philippians. Let's come to chapter 2. This shows the spiritual goal of any group of Christians together. That what you bring when you fellowship with each other, just say week to week, and month to month, and year to year, is the combined ongoing relationship that you have with God the Father. And here is the goal that is to be achieved spiritually. Let's pick it up here in verse 1, Philippians 2. Now then, if there be any encouragement in Christ, this is what we want. We want encouragement, not condemnation. Now, some things need to be condemned, but many things with encouragement can be overcome. If any comfort of love, and that's what it is to do, to give you comfort, not distress. If any fellowship of the Spirit, so you see, now we have the fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, then we have fellowship with the Spirit, in other words, with the Spirit of God, with Christ in us and the Father in us, then our fellowship with each other then constitutes the fellowship of the Spirit, which then is the glue of loving each other, which holds us all together. And this is especially true since we're scattered in many different areas and it's difficult to get together. If any deep inner affection and compassion, that means that you have empathy, you have sympathy, you have understanding when someone is sick, you pray for them. When someone is in distress, you encourage them. When someone needs comforting, you comfort them. When someone needs to be uplifted, you uplift them. And you will find that many of the problems and difficulties that you see in people will begin to drop by the wayside bit by bit by bit, because love is the greatest thing to help change and to overcome, as we're going to see. Fulfill my joy that you be of the same mind, which comes from what? We'll see in a minute. Mind of Christ. Having the same love, being joined together in soul. Now that's quite a relationship that God wants us to have. Being joined together in soul, that we learn with the mind of Christ how to love each other, serve each other, care for each other, and all of those things combined together. Minding the one thing. What is the one thing? Attaining to the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. That's the whole goal and purpose of everything. Let nothing be done through contention or vainglory, but in humility, each esteeming the others above himself. Now that's hard for human nature to do. Human nature likes to come along and look down. Well, I'm better because of this, or well, I know this person's problem because of that, etc., etc. Well, if you know someone else's problem, then the next question is, have you prayed for them? And I know someone made a comment, because sometimes you come across people that are, it's just really difficult to love them and get along with them. But if you encourage them, and once in a while, a little word of admonishment, over time, they will change. And I had a comment made to me recently. Well, you know, so-and-so has really improved a lot. Okay. Well, because so-and-so may be trying with all of his might, but maybe he or she has a lot more problems to overcome. Maybe it's going to take longer. So then we forbear. We have humility toward each other, esteeming the other better than himself. Let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others. That's how you love each other. Then it tops it off with this, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, now let's come forward here to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. Now let's understand something. The love of God is not a fuzzy, warm, maudlin, stand for nothing, accept everything kind of attitude. We need to understand that. Because look up here in verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8, page 1202. Okay? Accordingly, the one who rejects these commands is not rejecting man but God, who also gave his Holy Spirit to us. So in other words, he is saying to those in the congregation, you better follow the commands that the apostles have given. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for me to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. This is why the relationship that we have every day through prayer and study is the foundation of everything. That's how we're taught by God. We're taught through His Word. We're taught through His Spirit. We're taught through the activities and experiences that we go through. All of these things teach us God's way, teach us how Christ handles things, gives us things that we can change and grow and overcome in. All of those on a daily basis. Because, there is virtually nothing that any of us have gone through that is different that each one of us in one degree or another have not also experienced. Is that not true? Yes. And all of this, through this then, God is the one who teaches us to love one another. Verse 10, and you also practice this toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. We could say who are in all the churches of God wherever they are. See? That's why I think it's a good thing that when we pray, even in opening and closing prayers, pray for all the brethren wherever they are. And I hope they pray for us. All right, let's go on. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, back here just, okay? Verse 12, let's come back here to verse 10. Praying day and night fervently that we may see you again and might perfect the things that are lacking in your faith. But may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Now may the Lord make you exceed and to abound in love toward one another and toward all, even as we also abound in love toward you, that your hearts may be established blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Now you see, how then are you going to be spiritual in your character as you want, you desire to be? I think everyone wants here to be as spiritual in your character as possible. Is that not correct? Yes. All right. How do you do that? One of the big important things adding to that is loving one another. That's very important because loving one another, you get love back. And you learn, and as you give love toward other brethren, and you learn as you receive love back from them, whether it's just a conversation, whether it is in talking about your own situation, your own lives, or whatever it may be. You learn and you grow in love that way, so that we can actually be established in holiness with God. All right. Now, let's come to the Epistle of 1 John again. Epistle of 1 John. Now, 1 John was written in a time very similar to what we are facing today. Many of the circumstances were the same. There were antichrists who were leaving the church. There were those who were disfellowshipping Even the Apostle John was disfellowshipped by somebody. Right here in 1 John, the second chapter, we're going to see some pretty important things in relationship to the love of God, forgiveness of sin, keeping of the commandments of God, and how then we need to have the love of God perfected in us to love one another, because that's what's going to hold us together. Now let's pick it up right here in verse 1, chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Yet if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But that won't take place until Christ returns and gives them an opportunity for salvation. Now, he puts this in there so that even though we have been called with such a special calling and have the Spirit of God and have the privilege, as he wrote here in the first chapter, of having a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ on a daily basis, that we don't get all lifted up that we are better than other people in the world. We are not better because of ourselves. We are called, and we have a great responsibility because of that calling, see. And so he gives us, so we don't get the big head, ah-ha-ha-ha, I have my sins forgiven, but you don't. You know, some people can, you know, get that way. Now, verse 3, very important verses. Fundamental, we've gone over how many times, but very important in what we're covering here today. And by this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And every Protestant better listen up. The one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, question. Did love from the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, did it make him weak and maudlin? No. Notice how strong this is. If you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. So it doesn't take away from the strength of the power and truth, but actually adds to the love of God. So let's see what he says here, continuing. His liar and the truth is not in him. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. Now let's understand something about the love of God and the love of each other. It is something that has to be perfected and worked on. So how can you apply that in a group of people such as this? Go find someone who is attending that you don't know very well or you haven't met, and talk with that person and show love to that individual and make him or her feel welcome that they are here. That they will be inspired, as Paul wrote, that if they hear the word of truth, that they will fall down, that is, kneel down before God and say, God is among you. Well, how can you know God is among you if you don't have love? If you don't love one another, when that's the whole basis of our relationship, you see? Someone walks in the door, always new. Where did you come from? What do? Where do you work? Do you tithe? Do you have idols in your home? Have you repented of your sins? No, you make them feel welcome. You love them. Then they'll be inspired to stay. They will want to listen. They will want to learn. Because they may come in and say, well, you're asking those questions, who the blinkety blank do you think you are? See? Because you never know what's going on the mind on the other side of your conversation. See? See? Is that true? Yes. Love is being perfected. That means you work at it, you practice it on a daily basis. By this means, we know that we are in Him. Now, verse 6. Anyone who claims to dwell in Him is obligating himself also to walk even as He Himself walked. Let's put it in some other terms. You say you're a Christian. Christian means what? A follower of Christ. Now, this might be a good point of discussion with someone who is just coming to the truth or thinks they're Christian and has an open mind. Are you walking the way Christ walked? Mm-hmm. We're obligated to walk the way that Christ walked. That's why we need to develop the mind of Christ. That's why we love God the Father and Jesus Christ and know that they love us. Verse 7, Brethren, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the message which you heard from the beginning. And what was that message? Love one another. Again, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Now, verse 9 and 10 become very important concerning light and darkness. Anyone who claims that he is in the light but hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now, that's pretty hefty. That's pretty strong, isn't it? This also tells us how important the love of each other is. You can't walk into a congregation of God and say, oh, I love him because he has a good personality. Oh, I can't stand him. Oh, I better go find someone else, you see. You're practicing hate. You're practicing bias. God does not want that. Anyone who claims he's in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness until now. We don't want that. The one who loves his brother is dwelling in the light, and there is no cause of offense in him. That says a lot, doesn't it? This means if you're going to show love to brethren, control what you say. Don't say offensive things. If someone says offensive things, don't take offense toward it. Just change the conversation and move to something else. Pray for the individual that they'll overcome. When we come together, let it be in love, in understanding. Now, if you have a personal problem you want to share with someone you're particularly close to, go ahead and do that so they can pray for you. But you don't have to spread your whole problems through the whole congregation. That's not showing love to them either, you see. So there are a lot of things we can do in this so that we're not causing offense. Verse 11, But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and is walking in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, how important is it then to be loving the brethren and to be having godly thoughts toward them? Don't you want the best for them? Don't you want that whatever the problem or difficulty may be, that individual can overcome them? Don't you want them in the kingdom of God as well? Don't you understand Christ died for that person just like he died for you? So this is why Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged. For with the same judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And most of the judging goes on in here that you never let go out here. Isn't that correct? I know that's true. Because I've done it just like you. And how do you feel when you find out you were wrong? I know how I felt. You know, So we need to also get rid of that, too. Now let's come to Colossians, the third chapter, and we'll finish here. I'll have more to cover, so it will take more than one sermon to do this. But that's okay. We've got until Christ returns. Okay. Colossians, the third chapter. Now, here are some steps that we need to take in developing the love toward each other. Now, we'll see some from 2 Peter next time. But let's see. Let's pick it up right here. Begin right in verse 1. Verse 1, chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised together with Christ. That's interesting, isn't it? That's talking about baptism and being raised out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Notice again, this comes right back to where we started. Your priorities are toward God and from God, and then out to the brethren and out to your neighbor, as we'll cover later about your neighbor. And not unto things that are on earth, for you have died through the operation of baptism, and your life has been hid together with Christ in God. See, so notice what he's doing here. This is what Paul always does. He points everyone to Christ, everyone looking to God in heaven above, and then he starts on the difficulties to look at on the earth. He says, together with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, is manifest, then you shall be manifested with him in glory. So there we have it. There is the goal. And that's the whole purpose of every Sabbath, to keep our minds focused on the goal. Now then, he says, let's look at some of the things we need to do to get to where we want to go. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, sexual immorality. And boy, is this world possessed with sexual immorality today. I'm glad they have remote controls. You can get rid of all the soft porn. What I've done is I sent either to the History Channel or to a blank channel that comes up blue. So when I see some of these ads, I don't want to watch. I'm sick and tired of hearing, and I cannot understand, oh, Fox News, oh, we're a family channel, but they have all these ED commercials. Blows my mind. So I just, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want my mind on it at all. And it also presents a great challenge for rearing children in this world, because they force it down all the children's throats. Sexual immorality, uncleanness. And they did one on tattooing. You know what tattoo really means? It means mark. And all the tattooing, 99% of it goes back to what? Satanic occultism and the artistic designs. And the athletes who have the tattoos, some of those on the inner know, have the tattoos which are appeals to demons to make them better competitors. So we can put that in uncleanness. Inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So these are the works of the flesh that need to be overcome. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Then he reminds them again, among whom you also once walked when you were living in these things. But now you should put off all these things. So now you're not going to live in these gross sins we just mentioned. Now let's work on some of the inner sins that are within that is going to help establish your relationship with God and your relationship with the brethren. Put off all of these. Wrath. Ooh. We all have anger to work on, don't we? Indignation. What's the difference between wrath and indignation? Wrath can lead to rage. Indignation is kind of snootiness. Okay? Malice, blasphemy, foul language from your mouth? You know, I had a man that I counseled for quite a while that he had a difficulty that he swore so much in his life, it was ingrained in his brain so much that it took him about 4 years to really overcome that with a lot of prayer. And the key is the washing of the water of the Word with the Spirit of God. But it can be overcome. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man together with his deeds. Now then, here's all the things to stop doing. Now when you stop doing something, then what you have to do is start doing something right from a spiritual point of view. And have put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Well, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, or we can say put in, then as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep inner affections, having love and compassion and understanding for all the brethren, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Next verse is a key one. This is a key in overcoming the difficulties of loving one another. Verse 13, forbearing one another. Forbear. Overlook. Don't be upset. Don't let it bug you. Don't let it bother you. Instead, pray for the individual. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, also you should forgive. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And that's how then we learn to love each other. So you can take chapter 3, and we'll add to it next time on what we need to do, the steps of overcoming to develop love for one another. And that way we can grow closer to each other in love. When we come together to meet together, we will have really good fellowship motivated by the Spirit of God that is uplifting, that is encouraging, that is helpful, that is inspiring. So then whenever we meet together, it becomes a great occasion where then you take home something spiritual that you would not have had otherwise. And that is, love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus has said. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.